So, 1 Kings, chapter 18, starting at verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land that they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here. He will kill me.'" Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today."
Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power and its authority over our lives. And so we submit ourselves to it afresh this morning. And we pray that you will speak to us and show us how we can live more Christ-like lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been asked to do something that you find really terrifying? It might be to give a presentation in work or a speech at a wedding. You might have to face that intimidating character in work. Could be anything. Well, have some sympathy this morning with Obadiah. He is the servant of the evil king Ahab. When we talk about Ahab, think something like Darth Vader. Think evil. Think evil combined with power. You wouldn't want to go before him with bad news. You've heard the expression, "Don't shoot the messenger." Obadiah was the messenger. And my experience is that often the messenger does get shot, albeit thankfully, normally metaphorically. So today, we continue this series in the life of Elijah and then Elisha. Remember the context. Elijah has come on the scene. He is God's man. He is the prophet. He is the one who speaks for God. And God uses him miraculously. Elijah and then Elisha are able to pray for miracles to validate their ministry as prophets. just like the apostles perform miracles in the New Testament to validate their ministries as apostles. Elijah and Elisha are Old Testament spokesmen for God, who represent the prophets as a whole. Apostles are New Testament spokesmen for God. So Elijah is authoritative. He announces to the king that there will be a drought as a punishment on the nation for Ahab's evil reign and the apostasy of the nation, that they worship Baal, the fertility god. The fact that the nation has gone away from God, broken the covenant. Elijah is miraculously fed by ravens. And then we have the wonderful history of the raising from the dead of the widow of Zarephath's son. You'll remember that story that Paul taught to us earlier, of how her jar of flour was never used up and her jug of oil never ran dry. That was very clever, wasn't it? I was very impressed with that. These were miracles which authenticated God's servant. So that the widow says in chapter 17, verse 24, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is truth." And this is what we are meant to think. We are meant to see how God was clearly with his prophets, like Elijah. And we are to listen to them as to the very words of God. Just as we listen to the words of Jesus as the words of God and to his apostles. Firstly then, the outline is on your sheets. Firstly, let's look at this story. 3 years pass and the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. Verse 1, "Go and present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the land." This is a time of mercy. God will bring his punishment to an end if Ahab will repent. But would you want an interview with Ahab? When I applied for university, my headmaster gave me a mock interview in his office. It was a very scary experience. He was at his most intimidating, deliberately, and he liked me. The point I'm making is, you wouldn't want to go and speak with evil Ahab. Perhaps we might say this was like going to see Saddam Hussein when he was alive. But, verse 2, Elijah goes to present himself to Ahab. He is obedient. He is a model. He trusts God. We are called to go before everyone and speak God's word. And sometimes that will be scary. Elijah went. And that's impressive, isn't it? Remember verse 2b, there is still a severe famine on the land as God's judgment on sin, and Ahab is angry about this. Verse 3, he summons his palace administrator, "Dear old Obadiah." He was a devout believer in the Lord. How wonderful. Now notice, Ahab is evil, Obadiah is godly. And Obadiah still works for him, just as Daniel and Joseph worked for evil masters. We're not to be so heavenly minded that we will not work for the non-Christian world. We're not to be so anxious that we will not function in the world. Obadiah was a witness for God in the evil court of Ahab. And you and I have got to be in the world living for Christ. Verse 4, we meet Jezebel, who is perhaps more evil than her husband, Ahab. Jezebel has been murdering God's prophets. The comparison with Saddam Hussein is not overblown. Jezebel has been murdering the prophets. Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves and supplied them with food and water. Obadiah is a bit like Oskar Schindler. Oskar Schindler worked for the Nazis, but all the time he was rescuing Jews and hiding them. Obadiah is like that. Anyway, verse 5, Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive." So they searched the land. As Obadiah is walking along, verse 7, Elijah meets him. Obadiah bows down to the ground. When I went to see the Bishop of London for an interview for ordination training, the bishop said to me that if the prophet John the Baptist came into the room, he hoped I would bow down before him. And I thought, I don't think I would. I would only bow down before Jesus. But I suppose Obadiah bows down before Elijah because of what Elijah stands for, which is the word of God. Now here is the issue, verse 8. Elijah says, "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." Oh dear. The messenger is going to get shot. Verse 9. "What have I done wrong that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' You must be joking, Elijah, if you think I'm going to walk into the king's presence and announce you. Do you want to get us both killed?" Verse 12, "I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord might carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. My life is on the line, Elijah. God might just miraculously evacuate you. And don't forget, verse 12b, I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Isn't this enough, Elijah? I've always served the Lord. Don't ask me to get killed now." Verse 13, "Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' He will kill me." verse 15. Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." Now, what are we to make of this story? Two things to say. Fear is natural, but God can be trusted. Firstly, then, fear is natural. Sometimes we think, I could never be a leader in Sunday club or youth work or body and soul or any other ministry because I feel afraid. We assume that fear means we can't do it. But actually, we all feel afraid. One of my earliest sermons, if not my first sermon, was on the day of my 19th birthday in Bethlehem Presbyterian Church, Bryn Cefn. There were probably about 15 or 20 people there, and I was so nervous, I was physically sick. I'm sure loads of people can relate to that. Just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you don't do it. The late Sir Bruce Forsyth was talking about fear on television. He was saying he still got nervous presenting Strictly, even though he'd been in show business for 70 years. He didn't use the word nervous. He used the word fear. Overcoming fear, then, is a part of life. I wish it were not true, but it is. And all of this took its toll on Elijah in chapter 19. He didn't like standing up to evil dictators. He would have liked to have been anywhere else other than confronting Ahab. And clearly, the same was true for Obadiah. These men had to risk their lives for God. A modern-day comparison might be living for Christ in Iran, or Saudi Arabia, or many other Muslim countries, or even converting from Islam to Christianity in Britain. These men really were facing their fear. Now, what fears do we need to face? Could it be telling someone you're a Christian? Telling someone about Jesus? Inviting someone to the cheese and wine evening? Could it be you need to join a ministry in the church? Maybe fear has made us passive. I completely understand this. I don't think fear ever leaves us. And there are always new things to be afraid of. But we mustn't let fear win. Because secondly, God can be trusted. In chapter 19, verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. That's what we're all like. Obadiah is clearly terrified. I'm sure we would have been too. And yet there's massive evidence in Elijah's life that God can be trusted. Think of the way God had kept his word. He had said there would be a famine. Now God was saying the famine is over. God kept his word. Think of the way God miraculously prevented the widow's food from running out. Think of the raising from the dead of the widow's son. God can be trusted. And Elijah believes this. At this point, Elijah believes this. Look at verse 15. As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. This was an act of obedience. God told him to do it in verse 1. It was an act of faith. Obadiah and Elijah had to trust God for their lives. Christians in the Muslim world, other dictatorships like North Korea, literally trust God for their lives. Probably the worst thing that will happen to us is someone won't like us. Probably the worst thing that will happen is they won't come to the event we invite them to. That is probably the worst thing. I do realize some people have to live for Christ in hostile, non-Christian families. That is very tough for you. Some people are bullied for their faith in work. Prayer is always the key. Pray for your family. Pray for a softening. Pray for just the right opportunity. I'm afraid sometimes it takes a very long time for families to soften. Some of you have prayed for your loved ones for decades. But I'm sure many of us have seen wonderful answers to prayer for our families. Many could testify how God has sustained them as they've lived for Christ in hostile families. God can be trusted, even though it's hard. God can save your family. He calls us to be faithful, to pray for them, and to speak to them sensitively. It's the same if your workplace is hostile. Prayer is where the battle is won or lost. You're probably thinking, what does he know about working in a non-Christian environment? Actually, I have done. But don't listen to me. Listen to a blogger called Victoria Blust. It's all very well thinking in terms of evil dictators like Ahab. Victoria Blust blogs about the normal challenges of living for Christ in a non-Christian culture, just as we do. She grew up in a Christian home. For 19 years, she went to a good church. And then she moved to the north of England, where there were far fewer good churches. She says, "Very few of my friends would call themselves religious, let alone Christian. People have tried to have heated debates. Being in a position where you are one of the few Christians has taught me so much. And I hope that if you are in the same position of me, you will learn the same things." Here's what she concludes. "You will be laughed at and told that you are wrong. But God can still be trusted. People will ask you difficult questions. Your faith will be challenged. But God can be trusted." She says it's very important to read books which give you answers to the commonly asked questions. That, incidentally, is why we promote Cure for Life. Victoria continues, "Your faith relies on your reading the Bible and praying for yourself. Having a one-to-one relationship with God is so essential to maintaining your faith." And then she says, "You are here for a reason. The most important thing to remember is that God has a plan. He has put you in this situation for a reason, to spread the word of God. There are days that are extremely hard and days that are amazing, but through it all, remembering that you have a purpose for being in that situation will get you through. We are here for a purpose, to represent Christ in the world. And as we represent him, God can be trusted. He has a plan. So to recap, fear is natural. You may have heard of the World War II general, George Patton, who was praised for his bravery. And he says, "Actually, I wasn't brave at all. Whenever I was in earshot of gunfire," he says, "there was sweat in the palms of my hands." But he said very famously, "I learned very early in life never to take counsel of my fears." We will either listen to our fears, or we will listen to God's word and believe. Believing, God can be trusted. Elijah and Obadiah had to remember this. Without giving next week's sermon, God turns up on Mount Carmel. God ministers to Elijah in his later nervous exhaustion. God has 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. God can be trusted. Elijah knew this. This is why he goes to see Ahab. He can only do this by trusting God. Will we trust God? Will we trust God in our situations at home, at work, in the community? Will we step out in faith and live for Christ? You will know what God is challenging you to do. I know where God is challenging me. So let's take a moment of silence to respond to God. Bring that challenge to him. Maybe repent of not doing it before. Bring that challenge to him. Ask for his help and his power to trust him. Let's pray. Father, we're all like Obadiah. We all get terrified. But please give us the grace to step out in faith, to trust you, to be visible, proactive Christians where you have put us. So that, Lord, there'll be many non-Christians here at the cheese and wine evening, because we will have invited them. So that, Lord, there'd be many more being baptized because their Christian friends invited them to church and shared Jesus with them. Help us, Lord, we pray. Help us not to duck out. Help us to obey you. In Jesus' name. Amen.